funny song.
It's a good song.
Stuck in the middle with you.
That's where we are.
It's a metaphor.
Stuck after all these years. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas shows you. Yeah, something's not right with the Sixers. That's for sure. Every May, it is the same darn thing. Out. And yesterday was ugly to the New York Knicks. Clowns to the left of me. Jokers to the right. I guess that makes Douglas a joker.
Yeah, I guess.
You're to my right now.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle.
You're
clown
in the middle.
Clown to the left. Joker. Joker to the right.
Yeah, that's about it. That's us today. All right.
Yeah, we'll take that.
We'll get to your phone calls here in a second. Your reaction to the Sixers. Do you agree, disagree that Joel Embiid era ended yesterday? Again, when I say it, it's not... In practicality, I recognize he's probably going to be here. It's over, though. Like, sometimes, you know, you could... a relationship could end, but it still lasts for a while. But there's a moment where it is over. The Joel Embiid era ended yesterday. There's just no shot they're ever going to win with him as a major part of the team. None. And the fact that they keep doing this over and over is... It's really an embarrassment on them and on us. All right, we'll get back to your reaction to the Sixers here. But they weren't the only team to get swept out of the same building. But my goodness, did it sound different, right? Yesterday, we heard a lot of Let's Go Knicks and Knicks fans chanting as they took over the building. And there was zero for the Sixers fans to cheer for yesterday. Opposite on Saturday night. So the Flyers go down in OT to the Hurricanes. They fought. They lost to a team that was clearly better than them. A team that might win the cup. A Hurricanes team that looks like... They are a juggernaut right now. I think they're the first team to what, the 85 Oilers?
Yes.
To win
the first two. And without
sweep.
Yeah, without losing a game.
Incredible. They're on an incredible run to start the postseason. So they lost to a much better team. But I think there's a positivity around the Flyers that just has not been present with the Sixers in a long time because it's the beginning for them. Let's hear what it sounded like as the Flyers were kind of shaking hands with the Hurricanes and it was ending on Saturday. That's pretty loud, Hugh. I mean, that's a team that just got swept. That is a home loss in the playoffs to end the season. And that sounded to me, and you can kind of see it with some of the camera angles, of a lot of people staying in their seats to kind of say thank you and cheer the Flyers as their season ended.
Yeah, it brought a lot of people back to hockey, man.
Mm-hmm.
It brought a lot of us, you know, out to see the matches and the gatekeepers. It gave them something to do. So there's a lot going on with this. And I think that a lot of people feel like this is the beginning of something special. You know, because and I'm not mad at them. The gatekeepers, you know, you keep all the gates you want to keep, you know. But it was fun to be able to talk about hockey on the fly like we did for the last couple of weeks. It really, really was. And now you look at this team and you see the potential of what it could possibly be.
Yeah, no, it was an exciting run. I think there's a lot of reasons to feel excellent about where the franchise is moving forward. They're ahead of schedule. And now there's the exciting part moving forward will be how do they build off this, right? What do they do this offseason? Do they go after an established star?
Mm-hmm.
What happens with the roster the way is it? Do they kind of move to a point where they try to go all in to kind of move to the next step next year? Or is it more of a, hey, we'll add a little bit, but we're not going to rush this? I mean, those are the questions they have to answer now, and that's for Breer and Jonesy. And we'll get to all that. But I think proud is a good word for the Flyers, considering where they were at the Olympic break. Where they got to get into the postseason, the series win over the Penguins, and I thought for the most part they fought really hard against the Hurricanes. I mean, two of those games go to overtime, Hugh. I mean, it's rare to see a series where I did feel like man for man the Flyers were outmanned, right? Like the other team had more ready to go championship kind of players, and yet two of the games go to overtime. I mean, they
fought hard.
They fought the series could be 2-2 or 3-1 right now, even though they're not even close to as good. That's a credit to them.
Yeah, and they fought hard, man. That's the thing that jumped out to me because you could clearly see the difference in the two teams and where the Flyers are trying to be, but they still fought hard. They still fought hard, and I think that's why people did what they did because they saw that there was no quit in that Flyers squad.
Yeah, there wasn't. Let's hear Rick Tocchet after the game talking about the fans.
I think it's amazing. Like I really wanted to thank the fans for that. That was awesome for them to cheer us and the yellow gold Flyers and stuff. That maybe puts us on the map a little bit. You know, I was just talking to Jonesy. He was saying, "Man, that was awesome to hear the fans cheer the guys on." So that's a good thing for the guys to understand this summer. You know, we get this fans behind and we get this organization back on the map. And we got a taste, right? Now what it's going to take. But yeah, I'm really, really like to thank the fans for that. That was wonderful.
Well, they've got this fan base back, paying attention and locked into this team again. So it's going to be an interesting offseason. Let's hear Tockett talking about the team, the year they had, and his takeaway on it.
We squeezed as much juice from this team. I mean, I can't ask for more. I mean, we hung in there. It's a good hockey team over there. They roll four lines. They're flying. We got, you know, I'm not going to get into it now. We got some guys banged up, broken ribs and all that sort of stuff. So I can't. I mean, they gave it all. You know, obviously we'd like a little more possession and there's some things that we could wish done, but, you know, we ran some guys pretty, you know, to the ground a little bit, and they tried tonight.
They did try. I mean, he's talking about.
What are you talking about?
With the ribs?
That's the first thing that I like, because you don't really talk about.
I wondered about Tippett because he didn't play in the series.
Well, it could be Tippett. They had a lot of guys banged up by the end of the series, but by game four, they were, well, scratch Michkov, healthy scratch.
Yep.
Which, you know.
Second time this postseason.
Is going to be a thing this offseason, as much as everybody's going to want to avoid it. Anyway. I think Konechny was banged up, even though he played every game. I think by the end, they were just, he was right. They were pretty broken.
Yeah, banged up is different than broken ribs, though. That's something. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that goes to show you how tough hockey players are. Man, broken ribs.
It's amazing.
Ribs.
I mean,
Tippett did not play, and I think it's, if that's it, then I don't know.
We're recklessly speculating. It's just that when he said it, it just jumped out at me because you very rarely hear of a direct injury, a specific injury when it comes to hockey players.
Almost never.
Damn.
Yeah, they almost never tell. It is so amazing the difference between a team and just the way we feel about them making their first run versus a team that has given us the same crap over and over. Like, it's hard not to feel good about the Flyers, even though the result of the second round was literally the same thing. Swept at home to end it, right? Like, finished at home.
Yeah. Expectations matter.
They matter so much. Yep. The Sixers, the Flyers remind me of where the Sixers were when they first got in the playoffs 2017, 2018, right? Like, the future is bright. Anything's possible. And now all these 8, 9 years later, we feel like garbage about the Sixers because they've wasted this time.
So, yeah.
The Flyers feel like they have now the next few years to make us feel proud.
Yes. I do want to say, I think there's going to be a tendency or a want to by fans to now immediately raise the bar, raise the expectations for next season. Don't think that we're just an offseason away from being the Carolina Hurricanes. Still going to take some time. I mean, there's the Austin Matthews thing that's out there,
yep.
But that would have to be a trade. If you look at the free agents that are available, nobody really fits what our timeline one or really what we want to do in this offseason, like what we need to acquire. And it's going to take a few years for, I think, these young guys to really come into their own. Like, Porter Martone's still got to add some weight. You know, we'll see what happens with the Michkov thing. I'll be very curious, and this is it reminds me a little bit of the AJ Brown thing. And that no Flyers fan wants to admit that this is a thing. But multiple benchings in the postseason.
That's a lot.
And for the season to end that way with him sitting in the press box. Like, I'm sorry. It's just going to be one of the biggest storylines of the offseason for the Flyers.
Yeah,
just is.
I always feel like this is one of the trickiest things for executives in sports. When your team gets good quicker than you thought, do you go all in? Do you keep pushing?
Yeah.
Or do you kind of play it out in a more natural way? Because fans want to move forward, right? They don't want to just be, like, decent again.
Yeah.
They want to go and win a championship.
So I think the interesting thing we're going to have to look out for, if anything comes out of Michkov's camp about they're unhappy with the way that he was handled this season. Mm. Like, him and his camp have been silent about this whole thing. You know, it was a very similar situation last season. Tortorella sat him way more than Tockett did. I mean, Tortorella, I don't think, was a big fan of Michkov at all. But it was silence. And that, to me, indicated they were like, okay, like, we'll take this on the chin. We understand this is an off season that's very important. We'll go out there and we'll get better. Obviously, that didn't work. He had the injury. So if I hear something this offseason about, like, they didn't love the way that he was handled by the coaching staff or the organization, I got my antenna up on it.
Well, and now, and this is a good thing for them, but also not a good thing, the spotlight is on them, right? They can't, listen, let's just be real. There's been a lot of summers the last 10 years where the Flyers have just, they could have made a move and it's like a tree falling in the forest and no one heard it, right? Like, that's where they were. But now people are back in, they just watched 2 playoff series. So every move they make or every kind of rumor is going to cause a little reverberation and some waves. So it's a good thing for them because they got interest again. But now we're going to be on things. So we will see where it goes from here. But overall, an excellent end to the season, an excellent playoff run. You feel good about where the Flyers are. The Sixers, you feel like garbage this morning. I watched that game yesterday thinking, I'm a fool. I got fooled last week. I bought back in. I thought they'd compete against the Knicks, and they got rocked.
You are a fool.
I'm a fool. I'm a complete fool. And I'm done being fooled by this. And I'm done. I feel like a moron. And I'm done with the Embiid stuff. That press conference yesterday, his game yesterday on offense was fine. He made every shot he took. His game on defense was embarrassing. He can't move anymore. But the press conference stuff, get this guy out of here. I can't do it anymore. Chuck in Mount Airy's up. What's up, Chuck?
Chuck.
Yo, Jillio. What's the dealio here?
What's up, man?
Chuck.
Hey, listen. This is my end of the season conversation with you guys about the 76ers. Mm-hmm. Hey, I got to get some stuff off my chest, man.
Go for it.
Listen, for the life of me, I want you guys out there, everybody out there, with this disrespectful take, stop comparing this guy to Allen Iverson, okay? Joel Embiid would never be on a level of Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson cared, okay? This guy cried when he couldn't beat the Pacers, okay? So he ain't got nothing on AI but just hype.
Okay? Being cried after the Raptors series, to be fair.
He cried a lot. Yeah, he wanted to win. He was a wee win. I mean,
no,
he had
Embiid
to win
cried.
His heart.
Embiid
he
also cried.
Me, but he wanted to win.
Okay.
And Joel Embiid cried, yeah, but he was a loser, though.
Okay, that was a loser cry. That was a winner cry.
There's differences.
There's a difference, man. But, I just want to say this, man. You know, you got Maxey over there yucking up with those guys. You know, he's too happy to lose, too. You know, you got Daryl Morey still thinks it's 2015. He's competing against the Warriors. You know, he got to build a super team. He doesn't know how to pivot from that. You know, the rest of the league is zigging. He's zagging in the wrong way. You know what I mean? He I don't think he has the capability of building a team, a bench, things of that nature, what a GM is supposed to do. I think he just only knows how to take a boatload of money and give it to the best star that's available, that he thinks is the best star that's available. This thing is done. The 76ers are done. I was fooled by the Celtics series. That was a cool story. But, I mean, to get in there and get big boat raced the way that they did, you know, it's disheartening, man, as a Sixers fan. I don't even know where to look forward to. You know, we're not even in the draft. Do we even have a draft pick at this point? Let me just tell you this, man. I want to say this. Joel Embiid, I've been saying this. It's time to get rid of him, okay? And I said this yesterday to my – I was actually sitting there watching the game. This is the first time I watched him. Actually, it was after game three. I said that – this is the first time I watched him, and I said he should consider retiring. And you know why I said that? I used to say that before, but that was as a bit. I used to say as a bit because I wanted him off the team. But when I watched him on game three, limping off the court, limping on the court, holding his back, holding his head, holding his elbow, holding his arm, you know, won't you just retire, man? Call it quits. Especially with the press conference you gave. You don't care. You care about your family. You care about your kids. You care about your wife. You care about all those things. Well, just retire. You gave 12 years. Your life to basketball. Now you're done. Just retire. Let us out this contract as Sixers fans, man. Since Daryl Morey didn't have the foresight to be able to do it, he's too stupid to be able to let you to get the move on from you. So won't you just take us out of our misery and put a bullet in our head and just quit? Like, just move on, man. Go back to Africa go to France where France, you know, Frenchmen will want you there, you know, and won't you go ahead and live life there comfortably, man, with all the money you made. But let our Sixers fans have our team back, man. And it's a shame we don't have a GM that knows how to build a team, and we don't have an owner that cares. We don't have an owner that knows the difference between a basketball and a hockey puck. You know what I mean? So he's not going to make any moves. You know, you got Magic Johnson in your ear at the Commanders game. Why don't you tell Magic Johnson, why don't you sit there and ask him, hey, how should I build this Sixers team? You think I should get rid of this GM? And maybe Magic could tell you, hey, yeah, get rid of him because he doesn't know what he's doing. You know what I mean? The guy can't build a team. You sit there and you trade away a guy that could have helped us, Jerry McCain, you trade him away for a bag of balls. You know what I mean? And I said we could have won a series with Knicks, but he certainly would have helped us off the bench. You trade him away for nothing because you try to load up and get Giannis. That didn't work for you. That backfired on you because all you know how to do is throw money at guys that's over the hill, at injury-prone guys, at guys that don't have it anymore. You know what I mean? You don't know how to build a team, Daryl Morey. You know, you're just stupid. You know, you're stealing money. Now, that's what you do. You don't know how to build a team, and I'm convinced of that. You know, you lucked into a pick because Elton Brand, he didn't want to pick Tyrese Maxey.
Yep.
You lucked into the third pick last year with VJ Edgecombe. You know, you're just such a moron. It's not even funny. And you know what? I just want you gone. You know, I just want my Sixers back. I don't care if we got to start from scratch. You can go get five players from the G League, and we got to start from – I'll be more happy with that because I can see how we got a future. We don't have no future with these guys, man.
this thing is over with, you know? And you got it. You said something with the, yeah, people want to blame Maxie. I heard Spike say, well, we blame Maxie. Why nobody blame Maxie? Well, until they actually build a team around Tyrese Maxie, that's when I'll start blaming them. They've never built a team around Tyrese Maxie.
To me, it's a pot shot.
Joel Embiid, I know. And it's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. The whole thing is sad. Chuck Wells said, yeah, I mean, Maury's a clown. I mean, let's just be real. He's... Daryl Morey has not adjusted to what the modern NBA is. The NBA that Daryl Morey created all those years ago or helped create is a star-driven league. Three guys, you win with three or four guys.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA today is you need depth.
And that was obvious yesterday.
Yes.
It's been obvious this whole series that they have shooters. They have shooters all over the place, and they can shoot.
Yeah, I mean, to me, to win a championship in the NBA, you either need the one great, great, great player playing at that level. Like, maybe let's go a few years ago when Jokic took the Nuggets, right? Jokic was playing at an all-time level and went on an all-time run. Or you need a lot of really good players and a lot of depth. And the Sixers have neither of those things. The Sixers don't have one player that is playing right now at a level that you'd say, oh, my God, like... No, they don't have anyone like that. I guess Maxie's the closest.
Yeah. He's sporadic at times.
Yeah, of course he is. Right? Yeah. Edgecombe's 20 years old. Embiid, I mean, he couldn't guard a chair right now. He can't. The first three possessions yesterday, the Knicks just attacked. I've never seen Joel Embiid attacked on defense like that, Hugh. It's almost like they were laughing. Like, this guy, he can't guard anyone. We're just going to run around him. It was actually kind of sad watching him on defense in this series, how limited he was just movement-wise. Can't move.
Yeah, and it was tough, man. You know, you talk about the contribution on offense that he's giving you, but it's not the same on defense. And that's why when Jimmy Lynam said it on the show, I felt like he was talking about getting another big man that could shoot and could guard, because that's what this team needs. You need somebody that's going to spell Joel Embiid.
So let me ask you a question. Let's go with your idea and Jimmy Lynam's idea. So let's say they find somehow the trade or whatever. A backup big man that could shoot and defend.
Mm-hmm.
Then Joel Embiid's a bench player? Because that guy sounds better to me than Joel Embiid.
Well, you try to figure out the factor. I mean, he's going to be here, Joe. And I hear what you're saying. And you have to figure out a way to integrate him the best way that you possibly can. This is how I feel about this whole situation. I feel a lot of times that because of Joel Embiid, because of who he is, he integrates himself into the offense when there probably is another plan. Because it feels like, okay, Friday night, you know, we're talking about how it felt like he knew that Joel was going to play an hour before the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm thinking if you're game planning for the next game, you already have probably a set way that you want to do things, right? But then when you find out Joel Embiid is going to play, that kind of changes a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's probably where the disconnect comes from. But you got to do what you have to do because he's making a lot of money and, you know, he's well respected in the organization. So
is he?
I think so.
I don't know. A year ago, Tyrese Maxey called him out for not working hard.
I hear you. And he called him out, and Joel's biggest problem was who said it. So I think he's still influential in the organization, no question about it.
I just think he brings everything down. I don't know how else to say it. I think the good is outweighed now by the bad.
I don't think we're there. I hear you.
Hugh, he can't guard anyone.
And it is hard to defend, but I don't think that they're there yet. I'm saying. I don't think that the organization
I know more
is
than
there
the Sixers do about this. I mean, I've been saying for 5 years they can't win with them. They keep telling me they can.
No, I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to argue that with you. But what I'm saying is that's what it feels like.
I know.
It feels like that. It feels like that strongly, to be totally honest. It feels like he's a huge part of how they feel that they're going to fix this team.
Well, they're delusional then. Does anyone in the world think the Sixers could win a title with Joel Embiid? Anybody?
Daryl.
Yeah, I think they feel it.
The person in charge of the Sixers.
Yeah,
okay, thank you. We found the guy. He happens to run the franchise.
No problem.
Let's go to Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Hey, what's up, Kyle? What's up, man?
What's up, Terrence?
Guys, are we surprised? Like, I'm hearing people all on social media saying we're embarrassed by the Sixers, we're embarrassed by the Sixers. Guys, did we really think in the back of our minds we already knew that there was a chance that these guys were going to collapse? There was a chance that Joel Embiid might get injured. We knew these guys weren't going to win no championship. There were they exceeded expectations. I gotta agree with Spike on this. They exceeded expectations. They stumbled in the play-in. They were a 7th seed. Did we really think a 7th seed was going to go to the championship? Do you really think a 7th seed? Like, it was a great story, but they do this time and time again, Joe. They get our hopes up, then they collapse.
So no, I didn't. So that's it's a fair question. No, I did not think they'd win the championship at all, or really at any point, right? But there is a difference between, I mean, I didn't think the Flyers were going to win the Cup, but the Flyers fought in their series. The Sixers went down, they were down 47 points at home yesterday. Like that, it's embarrassing, right? There's a we're not good enough. I think that was the Flyers. There's a we're not good enough, and we rolled over and died. That's the Sixers.
But Joe, we're not going to ever win a championship with Joel Embiid.
I know.
We already know that there's a chance that he's going to run out of gas. He cannot last the whole postseason, let alone the season. So the era is over. And you know, I know Chuck said something about Maxi, but Maxi didn't show up either this series. It was night and day from the Boston series to the Knicks series. The thing that we did good against Boston, where we defended at the three-point line, we fell asleep the whole series, defending the three-point line, something the Knicks don't even do. They don't even shoot threes, and they did the same thing that the Celtics do, and they beat us at that game. And we didn't defend. Maxey had 13, 13, 26, and like 12.
Yeah.
That ain't going to cut it.
Mm-mm.
I do want to see Maxey get more aggressive. Maxey, like Brunson was coaching him, Maxey has to get aggressive and not stand in the corner. If a beat ain't cooking, Maxey got to take over. And that's the part of the game that Maxey got to mature at. We have to start taking over instead of standing in the corner watching all this happen. But, guys, I saw Josh Harris right after the game. He was going out somewhere. Like, he don't even care about this organization. Sell the team, my guy. Sell the team. You don't care about basketball. You don't care about the city. All you care about is your money. And this contract that gave him was hilarious, guys. And I got Knicks fans all on my timeline talking about how you like that sweep. The Knicks are still not going to win it. They're still not winning the championship. They're in a 53-year drought. They're like, enjoy your little celebration. You're happy because you beat a 7-seed Sixers team. You're still not beating OKC or the Spurs or, hell, even Detroit. Like that's the thing about New York fans. They get so happy and they haven't won squat in over a decade. So go sit down somewhere. Go sit in the corner and enjoy your little second-round win like you won the championship. Go sit down somewhere. Because we haven't done anything.
Yeah,
yet.
They're not going to win. No, they're not going to win. I mean, this is really, and Terrence, we appreciate the phone call. This is the Thunder's tournament. I mean, it's the same thing as last year. The Thunder are going to win the NBA championship. It's just a matter of time. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all your phone calls coming up on the Sixers. Is the Embiid era over? Your reaction to yesterday, especially if you were there. If you were there, we'd love to hear from you because that was tough. I mean, that was a tough basketball game to watch. I can't imagine what it was like to watch in person. Both the Sixers Flyers swept. Your reaction to all of it couldn't be different here in the studio to the two teams. And coming up, the Phillies win another series over the weekend. We'll share our thoughts. We got five big takeaways for the Phillies over the weekend, including maybe, was this a direct shot at me from Alec Bohm? That's next. Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Guess what, everybody? Wawa has tacos. Wawa has expanded its fresh prepared food lineup with the launch of seasoned beef tacos, and they're available for a limited time. These cheesy beefy tacos feature warm tortillas filled with Wawa savory seasoned beef and fresh toppings. The new tacos deliver a craveable handheld option, protein option for you if you're in the fridge scene and everything like that. You can get your tacos with two spreads and one fresh topping. I tried the garlic aioli and I did the ranch, and my fresh topping I had to get lettuce because I had to put some roughage in there, some vegetables and everything. And it's all packed in a 6-inch soft flour tortilla for when you're on the go. Seasoned beef is savory, juicy, saucy, not overly spicy, boldly seasoned beef. It's available in all quesadillas, tacos, burritos, and bowls for a limited time while supplies last. So that means you can go there to your favorite Wawa and you can mix and match your lineup and get whatever you want. So check it out at Wawa, the new seasoned beef tacos. Go to your local Wawa today and check it out.
And the pitch to Kyle. Swung on, line deep to right. That one is on its way, and that one is gone.
Christmas.
Goodness, Kyle Schwarber is out of this world hot right now. Another home run for Schwarber. That's 16, and it's 5-0 Phillies.
16 for Kyle Schwarber. Welcome
That's
back.
That's crazy.
It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all your phone calls on the Sixers here and the Flyers who lose. But the Sixers really have our attention this morning because of how bad that was yesterday. I think the Embiid era has come to an end. It's a matter of how quickly the Sixers acknowledge this and do something about it. You know, they could waste their time another year if they want to just waste all our time. But it's over. They can't win without Joel Embiid. He's got to be off the team. And they need to build this thing around the guards and see where they can go from there. But Hugh, we did get a good weekend out of one of the teams here. That was the Phillies. So Friday night didn't go well, but they bounced back Saturday. They bounced back Sunday. They win 2 out of 3 against the Rockies. So another winning weekend for the Phillies. They pushed back to 500 here. And here we have some takeaways. I wrote down 5 things that caught my attention this weekend. The first one, Hugh, let's start with Kyle Schwarber. I mean, Hugh, he has 16 home runs. Quiet, 2 man. Yesterday. Yeah, tied for the major league lead with Aaron Judge now. Hugh, he's on pace for 63 home runs. I mean, last year felt... In the moment, didn't it feel like, oh, this is his best, right?
But like you were kind of concerned whether or not he could sustain it.
Career year. I mean, every player has one of those, right? He had 58 last year. 56, excuse me, Hugh. But 63 now is the pace he's on. And I looked this morning because I was just curious where he ranks now. So if you look at the best home run to at-bat ratio in the history of Major League Baseball, just the guys that hit home runs, the most prolific, you know, just times at-bat per home run. This is now the top 5 in the history of Major League Baseball. It is Mark McGwire, it is Aaron Judge, it is Babe Ruth, it is Barry Bonds, and it is Kyle Schwarber.
He
is
pretty impressive.
Fifth all. This is not just. I'm not talking about this season. I'm talking about all time Major League Baseball. McGwire, Judge, Ruth, Bonds, and Schwarber. I mean, Hugh. Sometimes I have to like remind myself we're not just watching a great Phillies player, home run hitter. We're watching one of the greatest home run hitters ever.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm with you on that, Joe. To with all the turmoil that this team has had, you know, with firing a topper and everything, and then them to turn it around the way that they can turn around. When you said it, I mean, I've watched, but when you say it like that, 16, with everything that's going on, that's pretty impressive. That you just put your head down and you just do your job.
Are we going to get a 60 home run season out of Schwarber?
Feels like it might be the case.
Man,
can we at least get can I amend my Alec Bohm?
Well, we're going to get to him about this weekend, but
okay,
what do you
want? I want a minute. Like the 30 seems a little off.
Oh, I know. Even though he hit 2 on Saturday,
yeah,
it was a good day.
How about 15? Can we go half 15?
I'm not going to let you do that today. But if you want to,
we can workshop.
If you want to guarantee that Schwarber hits 60,
no,
I like that.
I'm just saying,
that's a fun one.
15. Can I amend it just a little bit? Just the only time that I asked for this.
You know what? Go for it. If that's really what you want to do.
It still feels like it might be lofty, huh?
Yeah, of course it does. But it's not lofty for Schwarber to get to 60.
No, I mean, it's not.
This guy's an unreal power hitter.
Which would mean 400 this season.
Wow. So the pursuit of 500 is like
wow,
right there.
Right
no,
there.
You were talking about, what were we talking about
he's
last year?
He's hitting 500 as a fill. Yeah. It's like, yeah. There's no doubt in my mind.
Right? I agree.
He's going to quietly have back-to-back 50 home run seasons.
He is the most prolific home run hitter I've ever seen in a Phillies uniform. It surpasses Howard.
Yeah. It's just so casual.
I know.
That's what I'm saying. That's the thing. When you talk about everything that's been going on for you, look up and you're like, oh, 16 home runs. Oh, that's okay.
Well, the other thing is there's a little bit of this generation's David Ortiz. I think because when we got him in his career, we didn't talk about his – like he was DFA'd by the Cubs, right? Like Ortiz was DFA'd by the Twins, and the Red Sox just picked him up. Like when we got Kyle Schwarber, he was at a crossroads of his career. People wondered, is he any good anymore? Is he just okay? To do what he's done in a Phillies uniform has been remarkable. So Schwarber, pair of home runs yesterday. Here we also get a home run from Bryce Harper. And Bryce Harper has really started to pour it on, I'd say the last 5 weeks or so. Here you look at Bryce Harper's number. Now, he doesn't quite have 16 home runs like you know Kyle Schwarber does, but he does have 10, and his numbers across the board.
They're hitting about like 281.
What's that OPS now? 9?
It's in the 9s. Yeah.
It's in the 9s.
It's up there.
They're both top 10 in the National League.
Yeah, I think
it
may be 950 and Schwarber's 951 or the other way around.
It's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
I mean, Hugh, this if you had asked me what a Bryce Harper bounce back elite-ish kind of season would look like, this is what it looks like right now.
Yeah, and he's quietly, I mean, you know, when you talk about what he's been able to do, man, I mean, you know, those two guys bouncing back,
yep.
It's at the time where we needed it the most. It still feels kind of weird. That this kind of all, I mean, he was trending in that direction, but it does feel kind of weird that it all happened after Topper left.
Well, I mean, they woke up. I mean, as a team, they woke up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that shock to your system tends to do that to you. So, yeah, I get it.
So Harper has a ninth, I'm looking at this, 938 right now. 23 walks, 26 strikeouts. Those two have been one of the best duos in all the National League. So that's all the good. Now, a guy that had not done much until a couple days off. Your guy, Hugh, Alec Bohm on Saturday, hit himself up not just one, but a pair of home runs. And then was this a shot at me or a shot at Don Mattingly? I'm not sure. After the game on Saturday. So, you know, we had the discussion last week when he was pulled out of the game, I guess it was what, Wednesday night, he was taken out of the game?
Yeah, whether or not that was the last time we're going
to
see him.
Yeah, well, whatever. Like, is he, to me, that signaled he was done as an everyday player, that they were treating him more as a rotational guy than just your everyday third baseman. And I said it the other day, and Bohm then sat for 2 days, right? Didn't play on Thursday, didn't play on Friday. Mattingly had him clear his head. He comes back in the lineup on Saturday. Boom! A pair of dingers. Let's hear Bohm after the game on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as like an everyday player, you want to be out there and do what you can to help, but at the same time, having a day to kind of just take a breather physically, mentally, and all that is definitely can be helpful, and you know, I think it was helpful for me. Baseball's a hard game, it's a weird game, but I think it just kind of reinforces that the things I'm doing and things I'm working on are right, and I think just keep working in that direction and keep working on those same things and, you know, take it day by day.
Now, Hugh, I need your take on this. Was that a shot at me for questioning if he's an everyday player or the manager for pulling him out of a game and sitting him?
I don't think it was a shot. I think it was a reflection of what he actually needed because, to be fair, the day off did help him kind of focus a little bit.
2 days off.
Well, yeah, and then he kind of acknowledged that. So yeah. I think it was one of those things. Kyle, I want to be messy.
Direct shot?
No,
hold
on. No, it was not a direct shot.
It was such a direct shot.
I don't think so. I think it was a reflective moment and him being honest with the situation. That's what I think.
You don't do that as an everyday player.
Well, yeah, you do. Because right, sometimes, nope. Sometimes
not after 2 days off.
Sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. But he was in the moment.
So you know, it's not just 2 days off. He was taken out of a game before that. So pinch hit, then 2 days off.
Yeah. So he couldn't see the forest for the trees.
Whether it's a shot, probably not a shot at Joe, right? But
more likely,
it's a message he wants to get out there.
Yes.
That I am an everyday player.
But you have to realize that you needed some time off and you got that time.
No,
right?
I get that. I'm just saying, like, to say I'm an everyday player was calculated.
Okay, I get that part.
Like, don't forget who I am and what I've been. Yeah, I play every day.
But if you're being fair, he wasn't playing like an everyday player.
No. He was playing terrible.
No, you see what I'm saying? And he needed a couple days off.
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree. Also, like, you do have to give Mattingly credit for it because 2 days off is rare, right?
Yes.
You see a guy take a day off and then come right back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's rare that it's like it's extended for multiple days.
The whole thing is a win for Mattingly,
especially
if Bohm's just starts to go back to being at least okay, right? Because that we'll look at it as the inflection point of his season. If he bounces back from the first month and a half to even if he's just okay here on out, that is a big inflection point. So that's a win for Mattingly. Obviously, a win for the Phillies to get Bohm going a little bit. Pair of home runs Saturday. All right, two more quick ones, then we'll get back to your phone calls here. Hugh, you want to go to the really good one that we're not talking enough about or the really bad one we're not talking about?
Let's go bad first.
Okay. Are we close to having a Trey Turner conversation around here?
Are we close?
Yeah.
I think we've been having it for a while.
You know what I mean by that. Like,
well, no, I mean, you know, we've been kind of, you know.
Well, I mean, he's having a terrible season. Can we just be honest about this? Trey Turner, let's pull his numbers up after yesterday. As yesterday, he was an 0-for. He did have 4 hits on Saturday, but he had an 0-for-6 on Friday night. Trey Turner now, as we are about a quarter of the way through the season, is hitting .240 with a .289 on-base percentage and a .353 slugging. That while playing a below-average shortstop. He's been a negative player so far this season. And yesterday, Bob Nightingale wrote USA Today, quote, scouts are alarmed at Phillies shortstop Trey Turner's rough start. Turner, the two-time batting champion who had a league-leading .304 last season, is off to the worst start of his career and has been erratic defensively. Hugh, that line in there about scouts being alarmed, that one, it's like, it's not just, because sometimes results could be bad, but it'll be fine. Scouts alarmed tell me that the people that are watching him every day are like, I don't know, this doesn't look right.
Like he's, you might have to move him or something.
Or he's on decline.
Yeah. I mean, you've been kind of on that boat. That's why I'm like, I don't understand how we're talking about it. We've been kind of on that boat for the last couple of years.
I guess what I meant is this season, it's been more about
like
the manager. It's been about Harper's bounce back. It's been about, I just think we've kind of let the Trey thing go the first 40 games of the season.
Yeah, because I feel like it probably hasn't been the biggest issue, to your point, that the Phillies have had to deal with. But now it feels like they're on a little bit of a run, so it might be something that's going to be at the forefront in the next couple of days.
It just didn't feel like he was... I guess he was like fourth on the list of like things that we were upset about the first month of the season, because I think at a certain point I think a lot of us had resigned to the fact that it was going to be a lost season.
Yep.
So then at that point you're not focusing as much on how individual guys are doing.
But I mean, now that they're bouncing back.
Harper was there because they had the back and forth with Dombrowski. That was in the spotlight. And then, of course, the Bohm thing because of what we know about him going into this season,
right,
the issue off the field and everything. So, like, I think that was – those two guys were in the microscope. And then the pitching staff sort of just, why is this going as badly as – or, like, we didn't expect it to be this bad, Lizardo, Sanchez, in the beginning of the season. Like, so now that we're back and, like, the team is, I guess, dug themselves out of the hole, then the individuals become, you know, the microscope's on them more.
And
so the Trey thing, it's so almost like smack me in the face. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Trey sucks this
year. It's not a small sample anymore, right? Like, the first 2 or 3 weeks, you kind of just like, all right, one good day could change the whole season. Mm-hmm. It's been almost a quarter of this. He's played 40 games. I mean, that's a quarter of the season, and he's been bad.
Wand coming back out.
What's that?
Magic wand coming back up?
I haven't thought about
it. You're going to undo the contract.
Yeah. Well, we might give everyone a chance to do that again. All right, let's end before we go back to the phone lines here. Here with one more thing.
What we got?
That was noticeable over the weekend. Do you know who is now the league leading hitter in baseball? Like the best batting average in all of Major League Baseball. A guy that on Friday, I asked Scott how he would kind of assess what kind of player
he is. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Is he hitting 353 right
He's
now?
He's hitting 353.
Ooh, that's an easy one then.
You got?
Marsh.
Brandon Marsh. Speaking of flying under the radar, like, I think we just accepted that he's more of a platoon player, right? He's not a superstar. He's not even, but you know what he might be? An all-star. I mean, he's hitting 353.
Yeah, that sounds like some all-star numbers right
there. You know what it sounds like to me if he keeps this up or close to it?
What's
he
that?
Might be the starting left fielder in the all-star game. He's hitting 353.
Okay.
I mean,
up Ted Williams' numbers.
Unbelievable. And if you go back to last year, remember he was 0 for April? He went on the rehab, so he got hurt.
Yeah.
If you look at his numbers over the calendar year, right? So 1 year ago today to now, it's 312 batting average, 361 on base, 842 OPS. He's been a really good player for a long time. Speaking of going under the radar, how good Brandon Marsh has become has gone on the radar. I don't know how else to say it right now besides he's really good.
Yeah, man, he's doing his job. When you talk about the lineup and what the daycare used to be, he's representing.
Well, he's become by far the best of those three.
Yeah, he's representing for the daycare.
286 batting average versus lefties, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to play every day now.
Yeah.
I've noticed the last 2 weeks, they've been sitting Crawford against the lefty.
Yep.
So Marsh just slides to center.
Which I like. Good.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not have him in the lineup every day, right? When you think about the team right now, I would say Harper, Schwarber are clearly the two best hitters. He's their third best hitter. I mean, he's got to be in that lineup every single day. What a start for his season. 215-592-9494. All right, Phils win 2 out of 3. Off today. A road trip now. Boston and Pittsburgh this weekend as the Phillies try. So what are we now? 3 under .500? I think it's 3 under.
19 and 22.
Trying to think when 500's coming. Now, Boston has not had a good season. Pittsburgh, though, is pretty good. That will not be an easy series this weekend with their pitcher.
They're okay.
Yeah, but they're better than
if we run in the Skeens.
I think Sunday might be Skeens Wheeler.
Ooh.
I think that's a fun one. All right, let's go to the phone lines here on all this, specifically the Sixers. Jay in West Philly is up on WIP. Jay?
What up, Jay?
What up, Hugh?
What's up, man?
Who?
What's going on?
These knuckleheads ask for the truth. Then when Embiid tell them the truth, everybody want to get whiny and pouty over there.
So the truth is that it was a good season for him?
Why don't you talk? He asked him a question. He said it was good for him.
Oh, great.
That was his success.
Yeah, and guess what?
He
can say what he wants, and I could say that's a loser answer. Go ahead.
So stop whining and crying. Mm-hmm. You saw. Now let's talk about your point guard, your fake Allen Iverson that everybody loved. Where was he at?
Well, he didn't play well enough.
Where was he at?
He didn't play well enough, Jay.
Oh, now he didn't play well. Now you want to move off from Embiid. You said the Embiid era over, right?
It's over. It's over.
Okay, so let's talk about this fake superstar that y'all wanted to build a team around.
Mm-hmm.
Where was he at when he was getting cooked by Brunson?
Well, Brunson's a better player than him, Jay.
Jay,
hold on a second.
Ain't no hold on.
How about you hold on? Jay, guess what? Here's what I don't need with this conversation. I don't need the, you make a point and go, oh, why don't you shut up? You want to have a back and forth? Have a back and forth. I'm just like Jay.
Stand up, ain't
you? Well, I'm not going to stand up on Jay. Jay, like, a week ago, you called and told me I know nothing about basketball, and Joel Embiid is a top 5 player. He's not even in the stratosphere of the 5 best players in the NBA. And if you think that after watching these playoffs and yesterday, you're nuts, man. Like, it's one thing to be a fan of a player It's another thing to understand the sport you're watching. He's not close. Is Maxi going to ever be good enough to lead a team to a championship? I don't know. The odds are probably not. But you know what I will continue to do? I'll bet on Maxi continuing to get better because he's continued to get better every year. Nobody thought Tyrese Maxi would be an all-star player drafted where he was drafted, and he continued to get better. So I will bet on Maxi's future, and I will bet on Edgecombe's future. If you're betting on Embiid's future, you're bankrupt already, Jay. Go ahead.
You go ahead and be broke button on Maxi. He's sitting there. He did it again.
So, Jay, what is your... Jay, hold on. Hold on. Jay, hold on. Jay, hold on. What is your plan for the Sixers? Bet on Embiid?
He got cooked. What he got? He got cooked. You betting on a
what is your plan for the Sixers? Do you think... Just say all right, enough. Do you think Joel Embiid could lead the Sixers to a championship?
Did you see that series?
No. Yes, did you?
Did you see the series where he shot 12 shots? 12 shots.
Do you think the Sixers can win with Joel Embiid? Do you think the Sixers can win with Joel Embiid?
Go ahead and let go Embiid, and you'll be in the lottery again.
Do you think the Sixers can win with Joel Embiid?
They have been winning with him.
Oh,
you wanted to play defense on everybody, right?
I wanted to play defense on one person, Jay. Jay, Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell Robinson. Shut enough. Mitchell Robinson, who probably has a 7-inch vertical jump. He's one of the least athletic big men at this point in his NBA career. He can't move. Dunked on Embiid on Friday night. Did you see that, Jay?
And they had it on. They had it at the game the next day.
I don't want Embiid to play defense on everyone. I want him to play defense on one person. One. He was cooked by Bridges, who can't even dribble. He was cooked by Robinson, who can't even jump. He's cooked as a defensive player. He is a one-dimensional part-time player. That's what Joel Embiid is, Jay. I don't understand why this is so hard. Like, why? Why is it so hard to see? It's over, Jay. They can't win with him.
They can't win with Max. You want to take the easy
that's
road
fine.
Out? Don't nobody
that's
want to
fine.
Talk about
Jay,
her.
That's
easy
fine.
Thing.
They may he not. They no may not be Jay. Able to win with him. They won't win with Embiid. Don't you see the difference?
And they won't win with Max. That's sitting there pumping all these dudes up. And then you want to talk about these bum fillers.
What are you talking
who
about?
Who pumped up Maxi today? Who said he played well at all? What are you talking about?
You ain't say nothing about him. It's all Embiid. He got to guard everybody. He got to score every basket down there. You want him to stop everybody on the team. Where was the rest of these dudes? Where was Edgecombe at? Where was Paul George
he
at?
Where was Edgecombe at? He was 20 years old. 20.
I don't give a damn what he is. He getting paid. I don't give a damn what he is. Don't tell me 20 there. Just... He yeah. in the league, he playing. He getting paid.
Thank you,
y'all want to bring up money about everybody
he
else?
He didn't win anything. Let's he doesn't know a damn thing about basketball. How many 20-year-old players are helping teams win playoff series? How many?
You don't know nothing about basketball.
How many 20? How many?
What do you know about basketball?
Jay,
you get on here with the
Jay,
same
how many 20-year-old players are helping teams win playoff series this season? Tell me. How many players that are 20 years old help their team win a playoff series? You want to go through them? Cooper Flagg. Flagg not in the playoffs. Con Knipple out in the play-in.
Con Knipple.
Okay? Ace Bailey on a terrible team. How many 20-year-old players help their teams win Game 7? To come on here and rip Edgecombe, you are clueless about the sport, man. This series is not about VJ Edgecombe. He's 20 years old. The fact that he's on the court with these guys is a testament to how great he's going to be. That is someone to believe in. Like, the Embiid people are just... I've never met a group of people. You make the Jalen Hurts people look bright, and you're a Jalen Hurts guy. You make the Hurts people look bright. At least he actually has a heart.
You're turning red, bro.
I'm tired of it, man. I'm tired of it. Like, it's so stupid.
Yeah, we got Hugh Bud. Swept twice this weekend.
No, we didn't.
It
yeah,
is
no, I
get,
I'm not, that's
it's,
why I'm sitting here. I'm just taking it all in. I'm
stupid.
Just, you know, my job Jay's today is to try to try to give you an insight on how you know folks might be feeling.
Huh?
Yeah, that's my job. I'm trying to give you insight.
Anyway. You want to rip Edgecombe again, or you want to sound like a dummy?
You sound like a dummy. You don't know nothing about sports, and you're talking tough behind the microphone. Let's talk sports. And when you want to be talking all bumping your gums behind there. That's talk sports. And when you want to talk about the guy, yeah, he's 20. Yeah, he's 20, getting paid. He's supposed to do that. He's a professional, right or wrong?
Right. So he gets paid about.
Hold on.
You want to have a back and
forth?
How much does he get paid less than the center?
I don't give a damn how much less he gets paid. He's a professional. He's on the court. And he's making plays.
Are you going to stop crying about Embiid and just wake up?
Let's talk about your boy Maxey.
Let's
talk about that.
What do you want?
What did he do?
He didn't play.
Jay,
he didn't play well enough. The problem is, Jay.
He didn't play well.
You know what, Jay? I'm done. Jay, you are, again, I said this before, and I have been on WIP for 13 years. I have never spoken to a bigger dope than Jay. It is amazing. I've never spoken to anyone who understands less about what they're watching than that caller. To call in today after that series and this season and to make it, well, VJ Edgecombe wasn't good enough. Oh, breaking news, the 20-year-old isn't ready to win a championship.
That was one of his worst, for sure.
I mean, holy hell, to get on the 20-year-old who started all year, and guess what, has to pick up the slack because the center takes half the season off to rip VJ Edgecombe. Get the hell out of here. Don't ever call. When VJ Edgecombe is a five-time All-Star in the NBA, don't call the show again. Because you're a dope. You can't see what's in front of you. Of all the people to rip, that kid? Why don't we put Porter Martone on the chopping block next? Yeah, he didn't score enough. Yeah, dummies, he's 19. Like, you have to be a...
Self-edit.
Woo! It's just not fair. Like, we're going to rip the 20-year-old player who busted his ass. You know what? How about
and showed you some bright spots.
Well, also, maybe he hit a wall because, the star player making $60 million? Oh, he had to miss half the season. So VJ Edgecombe, who started the season at 19, has to play every minute of every game because Joel Embiid's hurt again. To rip Edgecombe, get out of here, man. Like, I don't care that you're a Joel Embiid fan. I'm tired of these individual fan people. I'm not a Joel Embiid fan. I want the Sixers to win. I'm not a Jalen Hurts fan. I want the Eagles to win. When you make it all about one person, you sound ridiculous. Ridiculous.
And to be fair, it's never all about one person, but when you have one person that has been here as long as Joel Embiid has been here, it's kind of tough to overlook his contribution or lack thereof in a situation like this. And that's what it is. You follow the money. When you have stuff like this, granted, you know, Tyrese Maxey is looked at as one of the leaders, but we all know that he's not there yet. You know, so you look, Joel Embiid is going to take more of this than anybody else because, you know, the money's a part of it and the fact that he's more decorated than the other guys. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, I just...
Yes?
I don't understand how we do that. Like, how do you take away from the series, what about VJ Edgecombe? Like, what are you talking about?
I mean, but some
about?
Do. Some do, and some don't look at it like, say, for instance, if... We equated to football. If Jalen goes out there and he has a bad game, even though, you know, it's on all the other 10 guys, Jalen's probably going to get the brunt of it. All depends on how his performance was in that loss.
It's the common denominator, guys. I mean, that's the point. Yeah. Like, I just – any chance – I don't know. I never said they're going to win a title next year with Maxey and Edgecombe leading the way, but they need to move forward.
It's almost like we – we've lost in the second round for years before VJ Edgecombe.
VJ Edgecombe was 10 years old when we started making the playoffs.
The chest process.
If we want to talk about somebody who's innocent,
him.
VJ is very innocent.
I mean, he busts his ass for what he is at this level. He busts his ass in his playoff series.
All right, I need a break. All right, 215-592-9494. Well, another twist of the knife. What the stadium looked and sounded like. It. And now we're going to get I Told You So Douglas. So that's going to be wonderful,
just keep on going.
Wonderful next segment.
Nah, I'm going to be more measured. I'm going to give y'all a break.
You better shut your mouth.
And what some of the players had to say about it. That's next. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Oh, that's me. Great.
Man, you are.
I am
Jay
on top
threw
of
you off, man.
All right. We have dreams of another championship with our teams. Well, we did, but that ended this weekend. Be the world champion in your neighborhood with an upgrade to your home with my friends at Pella Windows and Doors. When it comes to replacing your windows and doors, experience matters. At Pella Windows and Doors, their expert consultants help you find the perfect fit for your home and your budget with flexible pricing and financing options designed around you. You'll get energy efficient products backed by some of the best warranties in the business, including installation. And if you ever sell your home, those warranties transfer to the new homeowner. That's why your neighbors trust Pella. Right now, get 40% off installation or 0% APR for 60 months. Book a free in-home consultation today by calling 877-98-PELLA. That number again, 877-98-PELLA. Or visit PellaPhilly.com. That's PellaPhilly.com. And tell them Joe Giglio sent you.